Would you say I'm more caliente or picante? If you had to pick.
This feels like a trap.
You know we really love you. It ain't our place to judge you. You're feeling scared about it naturally. There's no point in hiding, so feel free to start confiding. If you need a good friend, you can count on me. You can count on me. You can count on me.
Hello, I'm Sequoia Simone.
And I'm Kim.
And this is Fanatical Fixin' Where to Find Them,
a Harry Potter fanfiction podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. Why are you looking at me like that?
If you sing enough and like slowly enough, maybe they won't realize that we have nothing for the top of the episode.
And we sat there for 15 minutes before turning on the recording being like, I mean, is there anything? Do you have anything to talk? No, we don't. But we did realize that my fan fiction is pretty long and we've got some segments to do. So we're just going to do it.
Sure.
Do it.
Yeah.
The podcast.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. We need to be we need to be more.
Oh, sorry.
More jazzed on the idea of just going straight in.
No housekeeping, just podcast. All content here today, baby.
All content. Woo, 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 woo. Yeah. Okay, great. See? Energy's high. Okay, folks. I guess it's time to do predictions. You can send in your predictions to us. If you're a patron, mm-hmm. make sure to log mm-hmm. your predictions on Patreon. If you are not, make sure to get over to our Instagram. I'm actually not going to do them in stories anymore. It's just going to be a post. It's going to be a post on the Instagram. So go leave a little comment.
Okay.
With your predictions.
Okay.
Okay.
Switching up the social media stuff. Fighting the algo.
Yeah, because we do so much social media.
Ooh.
So go check that out and leave your predictions there. Or send them in via the email if you don't have an Instagram. We've been getting a lot in the email lately, and it's really fun to see those come through. So
I get to watch y'all's progress through the back catalog that way.
That's so fun.
We've got someone binging.
Some people ripping through.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, you get like 3-4 episodes of predictions
mm-hmm.
in the email in one day, and you're like,
mm-hmm.
dang. That person is going for it.
Yeah. And as per usual, I would mention that I do not recommend the podcast in that like high of dosage. Don't
as
do it.
As we always say, as we've been known to say.
Yeah.
But best of luck, and we love to see it.
Also.
Okay, great. It's time for predictions, which means that I am going to give you all 3 clues. They begin with the title. The title of this fan fiction is Harry Potter and the House of Merlin.
You got this look on your face and I knew it was coming. What is this era we've entered?
I cannot be helped. I cannot be stopped. The it's my Merlin era and your Harmony era, and I think that is a problem. Is this good content?
I've only done like 3 in a row or something like that.
Only.
Oops.
Only. Okay, this is Harry Potter and the House of Merlin.
Of course it is.
The genre tags on FF.net are adventure / romance.
Of course it is.
And this did come out post Half-Blood Prince.
Fuck, that's a weird time period. Okay.
It really is. Not helpful.
Okay, I'm going to try some stuff here.
All right.
Prediction number one. Harry is going to get resorted into Merlin House.
Fabulous.
Prediction number two. Merlin House is a, like, physical location that someone inherits.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice.
Prediction number three. Hedging everything. New prophecy.
Great. Great. I love these predictions. Excellent job.
I did my best. I tried really hard.
Okay, so before I get into this story, I have to say, we're doing, it's a two-chapter story.
Okay.
And at the top of chapter two, the author left a 480-something word author's note.
Holy shit. Author's not fucking playing around.
Not playing around even a little bit. So I just want to say that that exists, and we will get to it. We're going to get to it after I'm done reading the full story, though.
Sure.
And then we will get to the author's note.
Great.
All right. Everyone, get ready to enter the House of Merlin. Chapter one. The prophecy.
Ah!
And the sorting.
Ah! Holy shit. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I'm feeling good at the moment.
This one super hits the ground running. I'm very excited. Here we go. Sybil Trelawney was sitting in her office a couple of weeks before the new school year, and she was having tea with the headmaster.
Okay.
She suddenly went into a trance. We're going in immediately.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. We are really just like getting right into whatever this prophecy is about to be.
She suddenly went into a trance, and in a trance-like voice uttered her newest true prophecy.
Okay.
The house of the lost founder will arise again.
No. What the fuck?
It will lead the school to victory over the founder's heir.
Okay.
The lost house of the lost founder will rise again.
Uh-huh.
And that's the prophecy.
Let me just look something up real quick.
Uh-huh. I'm
trying to figure out when Merlin was theoretically alive. I'm gonna like argue with the logic of this story.
Googling when was Merlin alive? That's what you're doing?
And when was Hogwarts founded? Yeah, that's what I thought. Several hundred years apart.
Great.
So he founded it in such secret that it was a secret for like 500 years.
You know, as we've learned, as I've learned, in the reading of several Merlin fics.
Merlin was alive whenever you want him to have been.
Merlin is more like a nebulous concept than like truly a man.
So he's a secret founder. He founded it in secret. His own house. He built a cool clubhouse for Merlins only. Didn't tell anyone about it.
Right.
Do you think he was like an OC when they tried to sort him at his sorting ceremony? The hat was like, House Merlin! And the founders were like, what?
You know what? We'll get into what exactly the sorting mechanism is for House Merlin later.
Okay.
So basically, the lost house of the lost founder will rise again is our main takeaway here.
Sure.
She gives the prophecy. With that, she slumped over in her chair and the headmaster's eyes began to twinkle. Classically, as they do.
He just thinks it's so fucking funny that she doesn't remember that she does that.
Yes, true. He prepared all the necessary paperwork for the Department of Mysteries before putting the prophecy of the lost house of the lost founder into a pensieve for them.
It's nice of him to do.
I mean, I guess it's protocol if you like... In as far as this fan fiction is concerned, if you witness a prophecy,
yeah, that you like have to do a bunch of paper, you are legally required to do a bunch of paperwork,
yeah,
and that it's not like automatic, automagic.
No. No, you see a prophecy and you're like, yeah, there's like 16 forms.
Yeah.
And they're all basically the same information.
They really are.
But they're going to different people. And so you have to fill out each of the forms individually.
Yeah.
That's what happens. That's how the Department of Mysteries gets them. He then enervated the divination professor and smiled at her. Haven't been getting much sleep, have you, Sybil? Why don't you take a nap before dinner tonight?
And I'm not going to tell her she just prophesized. He's like, no. Oh, you fell asleep while we were having tea. How funny of you. No.
She just fell right asleep.
That's really rude.
Nope. He's not going to tell her.
He left her asleep while he filled out
16 forms.
Form 22G in triplicate.
I'm sorry that I have to cut our tea time short, but I have some urgent business to attend to that just came up.
Gotta go figure out where the fuck in Hogwarts House Merlin is.
He smiled and with his billowing robes left the dumbfounded divination professor to her thoughts. She didn't remember the prophecy that she just told, but she never did.
Yeah.
Bye. Albus Dumbledore made his way to the flu connection in his office and called out, Department of Mysteries, Prophecy Department, Ministry of Magic, London, before stepping through and going to see the man in charge. Brian, it's so good to see you again.
Perfectly reasonable name.
Perfectly reasonable name, Brian. Brian, he's your prophecy guy. He knows all the prophecies.
Brian knows all the prophecies.
He sees all the paperwork. He knows all the prophecies.
He takes the intake form, and then he splits out the other forms so that they go to the right departments.
Exactly, exactly. Which means, like, this is the most knowledgeable guy in all of the wizarding world.
Of prophecies, yeah.
He knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think one person should wield that much power.
No. Definitely
Brian,
not.
Yeah.
In a way, the bureaucrat that collects the prophecies is even more powerful than the people doing the prophecy.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we got to keep our eye out for Brian, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
This man has too much power.
Yeah, he knows what will happen.
Brian, it's so good to see you again. I have a new prophecy that my divination professor just made. He handed him the pensive and paperwork and made to leave. Thank you, Albus. I will take care of this right away. He went to look at the paperwork for the name of the prophecy and was shocked. I also love that the person who fills out the paperwork gets to name the prophecy.
Huh.
So, like, you could hear a prophecy and then just name the prophecy, like, Patrice.
And you know what? As we've found from fanfiction, naming things is fucking difficult.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And actually, though, on the form that Dumbledore filled out, that one did say reserved for the Ministry of Magic. Dumbledore just filled it out anyway.
Dumbledore is the only one who names his own prophecies that
he doesn't
sees.
Read the form very carefully. He's like, this one's named Jeff.
Jeff.
Prophecy
Jeff. Jeff and Patrice are my favorite prophecies.
Do you think they have to apply tags to it too?
Mm.
It's like tagging things on AO3.
Right. Tag character death.
Character death. That's good.
Tag slow burn. You're like, this prophecy says that these two are going to get together. It's just not going to happen for a long time. Stupid. So he reads the paperwork. He's very shocked. Is this true, Albus? Is the lost house coming back?
Brian should know more than anyone else that prophecies might come true.
That's true.
So it's not that it will happen. It's that it will possibly happen.
It might happen.
I'm afraid so, Brian. And I would appreciate it if you didn't let anyone else know about this for the time being.
I think Brian has to be pretty locked down secrecy-wise. Like,
yeah.
He probably is, like, magically bound to not just go around telling people about all the prophecies.
You would hope so?
Yeah. But again, it seems wild that we would give one man this much power. Therefore, yep. Who knows?
Who knows? Ministry probably hasn't taken any precautions.
Probably not. They're like, I don't know. It's only stuff that might happen.
Stuff that'll probably happen. Possibly happen?
Possibly.
How likely are these?
How do prophecies work?
Do you think that's one of the fields, like likeliness scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah.
Everybody's got 10 filled out, and Brian's like, I am supposed to be the one that fills this part out also.
This is also in the dark blue section of the form. Oh. Mm. Dumbledore smiled and flew back to his office to start making arrangements for the new quarters for the new house.
So there's not like an existing one. He's just going to go build it?
You know, it's unclear.
Or did they repurpose it? It was like a wing of the castle that they've repurposed for something else. And he's like, I got to go put some beds in here, I guess.
I lied. It isn't unclear. You do have to hold for the text, though.
Nice.
He knew that there was going to be the breakup of all four of the other houses. He wasn't sure how, though, for the Sorting Hat was being quiet about it. Besides...
Okay, so they're going to break down the students and some of them are going to end up in House Merlin. It's not that, like, different parts of the Hogwarts castle are breaking up with each other. Because they've all been dating.
Yes. No. It's that
Ravenclaw
students...
Tower is dating the Slytherin...
Dungeon area?
Yep. They're dating.
I hate that.
They're girlfriends.
No, what's going to happen is that some students will be rehoused, basically.
Sure.
But the Sorting Hat, Dumbledore's like, I don't know how this is going to work. The Sorting Hat won't tell him anything about it.
Hmm.
Besides, the Hat never sorted the House of Merlin anyway.
Okay.
So we have an alternate sorting mechanism.
Okay.
For the House of Merlin.
Okay.
He had read this once before. The last time the Lost House was around was 20 years before he had started at Hogwarts himself.
That's not very many. You'd think there would be records.
There are probably records. Maybe that's where he read it, in the records somewhere. But there has to have been, like, when he started... like a teacher that was still around from when the House of Merlin was there.
Okay. I mean, this is all a little weird. I don't understand why, like, sometimes they're like, okay, we're going to do the House of Merlin now. We've got enough students that we need to split them into 5 instead of 4?
Hold for the text, please.
Okay. All right. I'm being too impatient.
And then we get a header here. We are moving time location. Sorting Feast, September 1st. The Golden Trio's 6th year.
Oh, okay. We're doing Half-Blood Prince again.
Yes. Harry was wondering what was going on. He knew that things were getting...
As per usual.
Yeah. Harry walks into most situations wondering what is going on.
Yeah.
He knew that things were getting weird around the school.
Hmm.
This is Sorting Feast. He's just arrived. They walked into the... castle and we're like, vibes? Weird. The vibes are weird. The vibes are off.
There's a new staircase, but like they've been gone long enough that he couldn't put his finger on it like immediately.
Right.
Like he's like, something is different in this room. There's like a big ass staircase.
He was just sitting down at his seat when he noticed that there was an extra house table.
Okay, an extra table?
Full extra table.
That's worse. Harry, I actually was giving Harry more credit than he deserved.
Oh,
woof.
Is that a whole 5th table?
Yeah. Is this whole room bigger to accommodate a 5th table? And there are decorations for the 5th house everywhere?
Yes. This table had a banner that had a phoenix on it.
Yep, there's... Okay, yeah. Harry! Can't quite put my finger on what's changed.
This is very strange. He turned to Hermione. What do you think that means? Hermione was as perplexed as everyone else when she saw the extra table.
You would think that something that had happened as recently as 20 years before Dumbledore's time would be in
Hogwarts
maybe it's
history.
Maybe Hogwarts history hasn't been updated enough.
True. Possible. That's possible.
Her edition is only goes up to like 50 years before Dumbledore.
Or maybe, you know, there was some secrecy surrounding the lost house of the lost founder. And so they cut those pages out.
Okay. Been redacted.
It's been redacted. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So Hermione doesn't know what's going on.
Weird.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out with everybody else. And they waited for the sorting to begin. They all watched as Hagrid let in a large group of first years and had them stand in front of the stool with Professor McGonagall and the sorting hat. Welcome, first years. You will be sorted into your houses shortly. With that, the hat opened up its wide brim and started singing a very different sorting song. It doesn't really read like a song. It reads a little bit more like a monologue.
Sure.
You might think I'm old and ugly, but you will find out different as you put me on your heads. I'm the sorting hat, you see, and whether you're brave as the Gryffindor or loyal as the Hufflepuff, you might be as smart as the raven in the Ravenclaw or cunning and crafty as the Slytherin snake. But watch out, young ones, for this year the House of the Phoenix will be picking also. And if you have the qualities of all four other houses,
oh my God,
you might be put into the lost house of the lost founder. What?
Fine. I was like, what the heck could the qualifications possibly be? And it's just like, you got all of them.
Got
baby.
Them all. Got them all, baby.
Smart. You're loyal. You're brave.
You're brave.
You're cunning.
Cunning. Yeah. And
fine.
And then you get to go be in the Phoenix house.
Sure.
With that, there was a smattering of applause as the student body looked at the headmaster for his reaction.
Yeah, it's a little, everyone's like, what is happening? Dumbledore wasn't warned in advance, apparently. Sorting Hat would not tell him that this was it, that the House of Merlin is the master of all four elements.
Exactly. They looked to the headmaster for his reaction, but they found him to be twinkling as bright as ever.
Why is he twinkling?
He's just up there twinkling.
He would have done that regardless. He was already doing that.
It's hard for him not to, honestly.
He's as surprised as everyone, and so he's reacted by falling back on his normal reaction, which is twinkling so bright no one can look at him.
Dumbledore wasn't sure to think himself, but he nodded to Minerva to start the sorting as usual. She took out her scroll of names and started reading them off. One of the reasons why this fanfiction was a little bit easier to trim was that there are a lot of lists of names. Just like
really?
A lot of lists of names in this fanfiction. And I think it's important to note because there are times at which our fabulous author really struggled with the name situation. And the way that manifests itself is that, like, apparently wizards have, like, twins and triplets all the time.
Oh, no. This is a sibling-heavy year of group of first years, yeah?
Well, in this first, 13 students get sorted. In this first chunk of names, there are 13 kids. There's one set of triplets.
Okay.
Adam Connolly, Aidan Connolly, and Arlene Connolly.
Okay.
These are the, and then we rounded out with a name that I particularly like, which was Lucas Lucan.
That's a good name.
Lucas Canny? Lucan. really good stuff. Love it. So these 13 students, they get sorted normally. Slytherin, Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, Hat does it.
Okay.
That was when the sorting hat shut up.
Huh.
Without sorting anyone else.
So it sorted all the first years?
No. It sorted 13 of the first years and then stopped.
Oh, okay.
The students looked around wondering what was going on. There were another 10 first years to sort, but they were just standing there looking confused. 10 more first years.
Yeah.
That's like almost half of the first years.
Yeah.
Just then, a mysterious man appeared with a beautiful gold phoenix.
Oh! Merlin himself is going to come sort the rest.
He's here to sort the rest.
He's just here. Why is he here? Why is he here?
How? I could not possibly tell you.
I love this for him.
He's arrived.
Oh, by the way, did you say that the house colors for House Merlin are purple and gold?
I did not say that. No.
Oh, okay.
It didn't give us house colors.
I thought the banner was purple, and he's got a gold phoenix now.
The banner was not colored.
Okay.
Did not have
a
color.
You just made purple up. Because a fifth house is always purple.
Yeah, you projected that onto this story, and I appreciate it. Yeah, let's say it's purple.
Yep. Okay.
And he has arrived with a huge gold bird.
Yeah.
So,
House Merlin.
Yeah.
Purple and gold. Do you appreciate that you have a co-host who's as good at listening as I am?
Yeah. I say that all the time, too. I just tell people that, unprompted.
Yeah. Kim, she's such a great listener.
She's such a good listener.
That's what makes
her a
good partner.
I have to remind her what is going on in the fan fiction all the time. All the time. Oh, very good, very good. Okay, Merlin's here. He's got a big bird.
How corporeal is he? Is he a ghost? Is he just literally here?
No, he's just literally here. That's what I really love about this story is that, like, Merlin is just so much more present than he usually is. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, he's usually not this present. He's correct.
Very present. He looked around at the gathered students and smiled. Everyone pretty much recognized him. He was the most famous wizard to ever live. It was Merlin himself.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I know that guy. He's still alive. What is he doing here? Says Hermione.
Yeah.
What does Merlin sound like?
Merlin? I don't know. Do anything.
He sounds just like Dumbledore. It's the only voice I do.
You know, he's so often related to Dumbledore, I think that's justified.
Great. Albus. I'll do it a little deeper. Albus.
Yeah.
Long time no see. Why haven't you been keeping in touch?
What the fuck? Dumbledore, you could have been talking to Merlin?
This whole time? As soon as the prophecy was made, Dumbledore could have been like, what's up, Merles, my yeah. best friend?
Yeah. Do they have beef or something?
I can only assume that they have beef.
All right.
Because Merlin then says, well, let's let bygones be bygones.
Oh, yeah, they have beef.
Oh, they have beef. Some shit went down.
Interesting.
Now, I have come to sort students into the Lost House of Hogwarts, which has returned after over 100 years.
Merlin's been around for hundreds of years.
Hundreds and hundreds of years. Yes. He lives forever. He's immortal. Don't worry about it.
He's a secret founder of Hogwarts. He's been around fucking long time.
He's been a lot. Or he's got, you know, some time travel powers. Who knows?
Oh, maybe.
Who knows? You first years that haven't been sorted, you're the easiest ones to sort first. So if you'll go over and sit at that table that's empty over there, please.
Oh, he's just like everyone who's left is mine.
I'll take
take the rest of them.
Did the sort of, okay, so the list of names that you cut, yes, is it like half the alphabet or is it the whole alphabet?
That's a great question. So the last name on the sorted ones was Lucas Lucan.
So he's just taken the back half of the alphabet.
I think he's just taken the back half of the alphabet. Yes, true.
Huh. So you would have gone to House Merlin and I would not.
Yeah. Everybody sort yourself based on the first letter of your last name.
Yeah, yeah. Are you before or after Lucan? You're sorted now. Congratulations.
Oh, so good. You just go over there. Great job, everybody.
He's going to bulk up his numbers.
Oh, he's fucking about to. I don't know what, I don't know how many students this author thinks that are at Hogwarts.
You're the first members of the Lost House of the Phoenix, or the House of the Lost Founder, Merlin.
It's me, Merlin. He smiled at the gasps that came from the students and the whispers of the ones wondering who was going to be leaving their house to join the new one. Merlin stood and smiled at the students, and at the headmaster's nod, took out a piece of parchment and started reading off names.
Okay. Is this another big chunk of names?
This was a huge chunk of names.
If I call your name, you have been sorted into the new house. And
so
you
he's
are...
not doing anything. He's just like, no. All right. Do you think he just talked to the hat and was like, which ones were about equal? Those ones, I'll take them. Because the hat probably remembers.
Probably he might have done that. He might have done that. He also might be like Santa Claus. And he just like has this
he does
list
have,
at all times.
In FF canon, he has a board that he uses to monitor all wizards.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he does.
It's not been for monitoring how balanced they are as a master of all the elements, but
right.
maybe it's also that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I call your name, you have been sorted into the new house, and you are able to go to the table immediately. If you are a prefect, then you are to remove your badge and hand it to your former head of house before you go.
You gotta turn in your badge and gun. No prefects allowed in House Merlin, because we just party all the time!
No curfew. House Merlin doesn't have a curfew. No, that's not why.
I will tell you who the prefects for your house are when you're all sorted.
Fine.
He's going to pick them. Okay. Fine. And then there's a huge list of names, and it's huge because the House Merlin is taking 4 students from each year from every house.
4 students from each year from every house.
Yes.
That's like how, well, that's like half.
That is like half of the student body.
Yeah.
Is being resorted into House Merlin.
Okay.
Keep in mind the criteria.
Most people do have a mixture of many traits.
That's true.
So
the way that this list was structured was that it was like Gryffindor, each year, 4 names under each year. And then
that's a fuck ton of students. This is a lot of work that this author did to themselves.
A lot of work. I have cut a majority of the names, but there are first of all, we need to know where our people are, which ones are going to House Merlin. And second, lots of twins. I can't.
Got some highlights, some of the best made up names. All right.
Yeah,
good.
I got some highlights. So, Gryffindors. In the 5th year, we have a set of triplets, Hadley, Harry, and Hastine Hansen. And then naturally, Ginny Weasley is moving to House Merlin.
Okay.
And the Gryffindor 6th years, Hermione, Harry, Neville, Seamus.
Oh.
Those are the 4.
Okay.
We are, in fact, bye, leaving Ron behind.
Yeah. Bye, Ron.
Goodbye, Ron.
Suck it. You're just brave.
Gryffindor's seventh years, Angelina Johnson, Lee Jordan, and friend George.
Oh, wow. Really, bye, Ron.
Really, really, bye, Ron.
What did he do?
He just is not
enough
of the other things, I guess.
Yeah.
And then we went on to the Hufflepuffs.
How much do you think he's just taking the Quidditch stars?
We'll get there.
Just like absolutely destroying every other house's Quidditch
That's
team by taking
goal.
Them. Well, we got Angelina Johnson, the twins, and Harry and Ginny.
Yep.
So that's most of Gryffindor's Quidditch team.
Yes, yes. Ooh, yikes. So in Hufflepuff, we have sixth year Susan Bones. Susan Bones is going over. And
Love
then
Susan.
A couple seventh year Hufflepuffs I'd like to highlight.
Yes.
Vern Venetian.
Okay.
And Zaxxer Xander.
Ooh. I love that we're doing the double up on initials for these characters.
Oh, that is what I forgot to mention, is that in the sorted 13 of the first years, everybody had the matching initials except
everybody?
For the triplets. Yeah.
Whoa. This poor author.
They had to make up so many names.
They set such a task for themselves, and wow.
It's a lot. In Ravenclaw third year, we have another set of twins.
Okay.
Connor and Connie Goyle.
Goyles.
Uh-huh.
In Ravenclaw.
A set of Goyle twins in Ravenclaw.
Greg's younger siblings. All right.
Yeah. And then also in Ravenclaw third year, we have Gunther Groundbear.
That's such a great name. Whoa, whoa.
And Handy Hasselberg.
That's not as good. Groundbear. What a name.
Gunther Groundbear, I think, is one of the best ones.
Is there a Sammy Skybear?
There is now.
Whoa.
Yes, there is. There is a Sammy Skybear, but didn't make it into House Merlin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then in our Ravenclaw fourth year, we have a Kingsley Shacklebolt Jr.
Oh, cool.
Hanging out. Love it.
I love that.
The twins, Mandy and Mindy Bones.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, Cho Chang's sibling, Cheetah. Cheetah Chang.
Cheetah Chang.
Mm-hmm, as it were.
Sure. Fine.
And then we have, of course, in Ravenclaw fifth year, Michael Corner and Luna Lovegood are moving to House Merlin.
Naturally.
And the twins, the Chandler twins, Corpus and Christy.
Are they American?
They've gotta be.
Corpus and Christy.
Corpus and Christy Chandler. In Ravenclaw sixth year, Padma Patil and Justin Finch-Fletchley are moving.
JFF?
JFF is moving.
JFF is not a Ravenclaw, but fine.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine. I did not even notice that. I was so. And then, of course, Ravenclaw seventh year, we have Cho Chang moving.
Sure.
And then, naturally, Mutt Muttley.
Naturally.
Naturally.
Naturally, Old Muddington. Is that a nickname, maybe?
Nope.
Oh, no.
And then we're really struggling at the end here in getting into the Slytherins. The Slytherin fourth years, quadruplets.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that somehow. Oh, so many sets of siblings.
Orcus, Ord, Owly, and Oddish, or Kane.
Oddish? That's a Pokemon!
Yes.
It's
not spelled
no.
like the Pokemon, though, so it's different.
Okay. Okay.
And then naturally our Slytherin fifth years, Peter and Mary Poppins.
No.
Naturally.
She is a witch, but like, no.
And then our Slytherin sixth years, Pansy Parkinson.
Yes.
Blaise Zabini.
Hell yeah.
Daphne Greengrass.
Okay.
And Draco Malfoy are all moving.
All of them. We're taking everyone but
Crab and Goyle.
Vinny and Greg, bye. Oh, I guess Theo's sticking around.
Yeah, but the young Goyles are going.
Yeah.
The young Goyle twins from Ravenclaw are going. Anyway, those are all the highlights from the list.
Wow.
If y'all want full list exists, and it is in the fan fiction.
That was a lot.
It was a lot.
Of people.
They took half the student body.
Approximately, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So once he's done doing that, when he was finished, the aforementioned students stood and the prefects handed in their badges with reluctance to their former heads of house.
Yeah, only a few of them are going to be prefects now.
Yes.
He took a lot of prefects, I think.
He did take a lot of prefects.
And Quidditch players.
Yes. Seekers, particularly.
Does have a lot of Seekers. Yes.
Yes.
Ginny, Harry. I think he's got most of our Seeker Circle or whatever we called it.
Draco, Cho, Seeker Square is what we called it.
Yeah.
Great. So everybody's like, okay, here's my hand in my badge, my gun. They sat down at their new tables and looked at each other with appraising looks. Some with hatred, for they had always been enemies.
We've never seen like a resorting. I definitely haven't. A resorting this big.
Huge.
Usually it's just like this one OC has all of the qualities and gets to go to their own house. It's not usually
half,
like, half the
student
body.
Body.
It's just so, it's so much. And I don't know. I'm just excited to see how Harry does sharing a room with Draco.
Harry was the first one to break the tension between some of his friends and their former enemies. Looks like we're going to have to be housemates now. Maybe we should at least call a truce and try over again?
Harry?
Harry. Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
Harry? Harry James.
He stuck out his hand to Draco.
Wow.
Not sure what his reaction was going to be.
Yeah.
Seeing that Harry didn't have his wand out or look threatening, Draco stuck his own hand out. I offered you this friendship in our first year, Potter. I won't be offering it to you a third time.
You're not offering. Draco, what the fuck are you talking about?
Draco's like trying to take responsibility. He's like, Harry's like, we should all call a truce. And Draco's like, well, I say we should all call a truce.
That is exactly what's happening here. Why is he like this?
I don't know. I will even try to get over my prejudices about the... Muggleborns.
Wow. So we're getting that's a very quick Draco redemption.
Yeah. They're like, he's fine now. He's going to get over it. He said so.
Everyone's fine. We're all friends. We're in the same house. And that was all we needed, actually.
Right. He took the proffered hand. Draco Malfoy. He's introducing himself.
They're starting over.
They're starting over. This is starting over.
Great.
The firm handshake surprised some of their friends. They looked at each other with apprehension, but with newfound respect, thinking that if Harry and Draco could bury the hatchet, or at least try to, then they could also.
That's really big of them.
It really is. It's a lot to just sort of gloss over this real quick in chapter one.
We got other places to be. We have more important places to be. We have more important things to do than redeeming Draco gradually.
Exactly.
He's better now. Accept it. We're moving on.
So they all reintroduce themselves to each other. Now, don't get this the wrong way, Potter. But I think that I will do best as the prefect over you.
You don't get to pick, little buddy.
Also, that I should be the seeker.
You definitely don't get to pick, little buddy. Harry's beat you in, like, every seeker contest the two of you ever had.
Ever. This is not.
Although, since every other seeker... Actually, I don't know who's seeking for Hufflepuff. Basically, every seeker in the school is now in House Merlin. I think it actually probably doesn't super matter who's seeker for House Merlin.
Because they've got all the best ones.
They got all the good
ones. They can beat anybody. Yeah.
Yep.
Harry shook his head and chuckled. That's up to our head of house, Merlin himself. on who the prefects are.
Is Merlin sticking around?
Yeah.
He's just gonna... a professor now?
Yeah, yeah. Hold
Meet
for the
Professor
text.
Merlin. Wild.
So this should be interesting. Now, as far as who plays what position, that will be up to the captain. And since we don't have a team at this time, that'll also be whoever the head of house chooses. He shrugged and looked up to see Merlin looking at him appraisingly. Okay, chapter 2.
Great. I'm stoked.
Choosing and explanations. Harry and the others listened intently to the headmaster go through his usual start of term announcements. They were happy to learn that their new head of house, Merlin, was going to be the Defense Against the Dark Arts professor.
I fucking knew it.
Naturally.
Oh my god. Why would that be the fucking case?
Because they gotta have, they needed a new one. They always
Yeah, I guess
need
they needed
one
anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well hire Merlin
himself.
What a choice. This is the most active Merlin I think we've ever seen.
Ever. Yeah. I love it. I love it so much. I'm like, oh, he's really here. The conversation was going on between them who they had for a possible Quidditch team. They had decided that they would recommend Angelina for captain.
Sure.
And let her make the decision between Draco, Harry, and Cho to be the seeker.
And Ginny.
It's great.
It's fine.
And it's fine. Don't worry. Ginny's going to be a chaser. Don't worry about it. Professor Merlin walked up to their table after the feast and smiled. Are all of you ready to go up to our tower?
There's an entire new tower on the castle. They had to build it over the summer.
Hold for the text.
Okay. Really? That's in the text?
Not that specifically. He led them out of the Great Hall and down a previously unused corridor past the main staircase. They walked for a bit and were surprised to find that they were in a part of the castle that no one knew about.
Huh.
Don't worry. This part of the castle only appears when needed.
Okay.
It's the hidden house Merlin wing of the castle that is otherwise not accessible. Unless
sure.
you are in the during a period of time where we so happen to be having the house of Merlin for whatever reason.
For Merlin reasons. For Merlin every reasons. Once in a while, Merlin gets bored, decides to come back to Hogwarts, stir shit up.
Exactly. It's hard to
he
be alive
bored.
Forever.
You know? Yeah.
It's like sometimes you want to mix it up sometimes.
Exactly. He was bored, so now he's here.
He walked up to a portrait of the five founders of Hogwarts. Phoenix, he called out as the password. It's like making your password password. Don't do that. And he led them into the common room. Now, everyone, please settle down. And I have a few announcements to make to you before you head off to bed.
Sure.
First, Angelina Johnson will be the Quidditch team captain.
Okay.
Now, this is his first announcement because clearly it is the most important announcement because, importantly, he would like to win the Quidditch Cup.
Yeah, I think so.
I think
he's
all
doing
coming
something.
Together.
He had one goal.
Mm-hmm.
To win the Quidditch Cup. Why would that be the case? That's really weird.
Two.
Uh-huh.
Prefects will be as follows. Fifth years, Ginny Weasley and Peter Poppins. Don't forget about Peter.
I'd forgotten about Pete.
Don't forget. Sixth years, Hermione Granger and, even though this isn't done usually, I will be naming co-prefects
no.
Harry Potter and Draco
no.
Malfoy.
No, you're not.
Yeah, he is. He's doing it.
No, you're
He's
not.
He's Merlin.
He did take...
He can do whatever he wants.
He took an unusually large number of students. They need some extra prefix.
That's true. That's
Fine.
True.
Fine. Harry wasn't a prefect before, though. So, like, maybe cool your yeah. jets.
Does it matter? Why not JFF? seventh years, Cho Chang and Fred Weasley.
Don't make one of the twins a prefect.
Wow.
That's not a great choice. Merlin.
Wow.
What the fuck are you up to?
What is he doing? Also, I did just realize the author did have some problems with like what years students are in.
Don't worry about
pretty
it.
Pretty obviously.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Fred and George graduated.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, they got held back. They had to come back. Yeah. I think Angelina also graduated at this point.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you why I have come back this time. For the first time in over 100 years. Well, you all know that Voldemort is back. And it is time that this house comes back to train the students in how to defeat him. So, you will all be trained.
Just House Merlin is going to be trained to fight.
Well, it's a little bit more like a pyramid scheme. They're going to train House Merlin to defeat Voldemort. And then House Merlin is going to teach the rest of the students to defeat Voldemort. And then those students are going to get two of their best friends to also learn how to defeat Voldemort. And it goes on and so forth.
Okay.
So, you will all be trained to defeat him, and it is your responsibility to help train the other students in this school.
Sure.
Now, it's getting late. You should all go off to bed.
And then he left through the passageway without another word. Okay, and then there's like one more bit where they all wake up in the morning, they get their schedules, and some of them have a special class with Merlin.
Uh-huh.
And the special class is History of the House of Merlin.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what exactly was the function of this, but their first lesson is who was in the house when this house was a house, and who could have been in the house if the house was around when those people were at Hogwarts.
This author had so many lists and
list
like
of names.
Nothing else.
Huge list of names, folks.
So many lists. What the fuck?
Yeah. So there's a lot of, you know, the could have beens. We've got like every Weasley.
Uh-huh.
James Potter. Uh-huh. Lily Potter. Sirius Remus.
Sure.
All could have gotten into House Merlin. Had House Merlin existed at the time they were at Hogwarts.
Okay.
But also,
I really don't understand what the function of this is.
But also Tom Marvolo Riddle.
Right.
Naturally. And then, you know, Dumbledore, his brother, the Longbottoms, all the Black Sisters, and Tonks.
How about Kingsley Senior? Kingsley Senior on the list?
Kingsley Senior is not on the list.
Okay.
Not on the list. But Kingsley Junior, he got in. When the list is done, there are 24 people on it who could have been. I didn't actually check if that was true. And then 20 that were in it.
Were the 20 100% made up names again?
Yes.
Great.
And then Merlin gives them homework where they have to write an essay about one of these people and why that person exemplified the traits of all four houses.
This is a wild class.
Yeah, I mean, eventually they'll get to the... I think eventually they would probably get to the part where they learn how to defeat Voldemort so that they can teach people how to defeat Voldemort who can teach people how to defeat Voldemort.
I guess.
Eventually. But right now, it's like, write an essay about your mom.
Weird.
It's bizarre. And then that's the end of the fan fiction.
Right.
So I gotta get to this author's note. This very long author's note, which is great.
Uh-huh.
The author is like, I'm gonna answer a couple of questions.
And great. I have so many questions.
It's the author's not gonna answer any of the questions that you want the answer to. So keep in mind, this was to go between chapters 1 and 2.
Sure.
So the first question they answer is, what are the qualities that make up House Merlin?
They already answered that in the text of the first chapter.
Right. And this is like a large chunk of this. So I will skip that bit. But if you wanted more information as to why, there is a bit about Ron and how Ron maybe might have the cunning and the courage, but he's not smart enough to be in House Merlin. Which, wow. And then there is a justification for the twins. I don't need a justification for the twins. The twins have all of those things.
Do they?
And we know they do. We know they
do. Yeah, actually, you know what? The twins, elves of the Weasleys, they've got the ambition. Mm-hmm. They've got the smarts.
Yep.
They've got the grind set.
Yeah.
They've got the
bravery?
Yeah. That's the one that maybe they have the least.
I think they've got the bravery. They've got it all.
Right.
They got it all.
Yeah.
Twins rule.
Yeah, okay. I believe that the twins are all of them.
The second thing is addressing that, yes, Ron is going to have a reaction to the separating of the trio and the burying of the hatchet between Harry and Draco, yes. But the author's not going to tell us what that is because it will come in future chapters.
No, it won't.
No, it won't.
I would guess he's going to be bummed. And then he's going to be like, why are you and Draco making out so much?
Hold for the author's note.
Okay. Great.
People were apparently asking after chapter one if Harry was going to be the captain of the Quidditch team.
Hmm.
And author says, very justified, Angelina has more experience than he does. She is in her senior year.
Yeah, because she's 18.
Yes.
She's already graduated and been the Quidditch captain before.
And apparently people were asking if Harry and Draco were going to be the beaters on the team.
That's a wild choice.
Which is a wild choice. No.
Who would be the seeker in that case?
Cho.
Oh, okay.
But the author does say that Harry is going to be the main seeker with Cho as the reserve seeker, and that the author is saying they might put Draco as keeper because they actually didn't take a keeper that we know of in House Merlin.
Okay. They forgot. Merlin forgot the keeper. He was Merlin like, look, we're going to be all points, no defense.
We're going to catch a snitch immediately every time. So.
Yeah.
Why would we even need the rest of the team?
I have a 100% seeker team. Everyone is a seeker.
And then the author was asked what pairings were going to be in the story. And author just tells us.
Yes, thank you.
Here are the pairings that were meant to be in this story.
Peter Poppins / Mutt Muttley. Sammy Skybear / Gunther Groundbear.
Harry / Hermione.
No! No! What?
This was not being set up as a dreary, and that blew my whole fucking mind.
Really?
Harmony. Drinny.
Huh.
Ron / Luna.
Okay.
And Angelina and George.
Huh.
Those were the pairings for this fan fiction.
Huh.
Wild. Wild that it was not dreary.
Yeah, there was like no Harmony vibes at all.
No. But apparently it was going to get there. So that is,
weird.
That's the info.
One of the things I was considering predicting
mm-hmm.
when I was doing my predictions was that we would not make it to the romance. Like, there would be no evidence of the romance in the text of the fan fiction. That was something I was strongly considering.
Well, you still got 2 points.
I did.
2 points.
Felt pretty good about that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to say, I just want to give a quick shout out because this was submitted by a listener. It was submitted by an anonymous listener. Thank you so much for sending this in.
Nice find.
For this,
like, 90% name list fan fiction.
Oh God. And they said it in the comments, too, on the unsubmitting. It was like,
really?
The story doesn't really get anywhere, but there's a lot of names in it. And I was like, what do you mean? Oh, it's primarily lists of names? Awesome. Awesome.
Wild.
Love it.
What a wild choice. Ooh. That's so cool.
I love it. I love this story. Merlin.
House Merlin.
Let's head into a segment. And now it's time for a quick fix.
For my quick fix today, I have a story that was sent to me by Jessica.
Jessica!
Jessica has been feeding my desire for Western fan fictions.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of thin, which is... But she sent me a few.
Right,
this
right.
one, though, this one I did want to talk about as a quick fic. It's not super useful as a fan fiction because it's one of those like 100% dialogue boys.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's also a little bit like it's got a lot of the like lol random style humor, which I feel like doesn't often hit.
Yeah, yeah. It's not
anymore.
The same. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
When I was 12, I thought this was funny, but it just doesn't quite hit anymore. But all of that said, it is a Western, and it's wild.
Okay.
So this fanfiction starts out, Harry, Ron, Hermione, Professor McGonagall, Dumbledore, and Snape all get in the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Of course.
Which is appeared at Hogwarts for no particular reason.
Uh-huh.
Snape knows exactly what it is and is like, we're all getting in this. I know how to drive this.
Right.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah. Snape, noted Back to the Future fan. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, yes, yes. And so Snape takes them back to 1837.
Okay.
And they are all cowboys. They appear in 1837 Reno, Nevada.
Okay.
And they all are dressed as cowboys, including Snape. And they kind of wander through the desert, because apparently they're not that close to Reno. They're somewhere outside of Reno.
Okay.
In
like
they wander
a
through the desert.
Wasteland? They just like arrive in the desert.
Yes.
No town. No. They're just... Okay.
There's a town kind of nearby, but they're wandering towards it, apparently.
Uh-huh.
They get spotted by some outlaws.
Okay.
Theoretically. They're theoretically outlaws. It's a little inscrutable. And the outlaws are like, one of the outlaws says to the other one, like, you should pick a fight with that guy, pointing at Snape.
Okay.
And so he does, and they have a duel in the middle of town.
Uh-huh.
So they have a duel in the middle of town, and Snape misses, and the outlaw shoots him dead on in the chest, killing him.
Oh, shit.
Except, a couple hours later, the outlaws are celebrating in the saloon when Snape walks in.
Uh-huh.
He reaches into his pocket. He pulls out the bloodstained bullet
uh-huh.
and a sheriff's badge.
Why? How did he become the sheriff? What?
It was a sheriff's badge with a hole in the middle. He was shot right through his
sheriff's badge. Okay.
And the outlaw's like, oh man, I killed a lawman. But like, clearly he didn't because Snape's up and walking around.
Exactly. He
and
tried
then
to.
We switch back to Hogwarts present day.
Okay.
And Snape's like kicked back in his office and he, kicks back in his office, he picks up the book Dracula and reads it for a little while and is like, and then he says to himself, he says, man, I'm starting to like the afterlife.
What? So he did die.
He did die.
Okay. And his afterlife is Hogwarts?
Oh yeah, he says, memo to myself, tell the class that I wouldn't be caught dead going through the blackboard. So he's dead. He's a ghost.
Oh, he's a ghost. He went back to teach ghost style like Professor Binns.
I guess. I thought he was a Dracula because he was reading Dracula and so he was, you know, a vampire. Because, like, Snape is a vampire was a fairly common theory.
Yeah. Okay, so did they try?
Maybe he is a vampire.
His ghost forward in time?
Or he died in 1837 and has been hanging out in Reno and came back to Hogwarts? Who the fuck knows, Sequoia? This is the end of the fan fiction.
What year did you say they went back to?
1837.
Okay. I was wondering if they had gone back to the same cowboy year that they go back to in Back to the Future 3. Because Back to the Future 3 is a Western.
What year do they go back to in Back to the Future 3?
1885.
okay, author just picked a random year.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know. Good to know. Good to know. Great. Funny. Amazing. Thank you, Jessica.
Yep. Jessica found a Western for me. Always appreciate that.
All right. And now it's time for
the Rec Zone.
Today on the Rec Zone, I have for you a fluffy little post-war Neville slash Luna.
Nice.
And it's just a cute little one-shot, and it's really well written and fun. It's called A Moment in the Sun. Yeah.
Nice.
Check it out.
Thank you, Sequoia.
All right. Well, a link for that will be in the description of this episode. It will also be on our website,
fanaticalfix.com.
Also on our website is the story submission form.
If you've found a fan fiction that's just a list of names.
Apparently we do that. Apparently we do that on the podcast. You can send that in to us on the story submission form.
Also on the website, you can find merch. There is a digital download of Yes Glitter on the website, or there is a link over to our Tee Public where you can find t-shirts, tote bags. There's a kitty. Oh, where's he going?
There was a kitty in the
window well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was a fuzzy looking kitty. Tote bags.
Tote bags. Shit. Oh, God. So much tape. If you want to send in your predictions, you can do that on our Instagram, at Fanatical Fix.
If you don't have an Instagram, or if you do have an Instagram and you don't want to contact us on Instagram.
This is going well. This is going
you
well.
You can email us at fanaticalfix@gmail.com.
If you want to help out this podcast, there's a couple of ways to do that. The first would be to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or a rating on Spotify or wherever. We'll accept a review of this podcast.
Oh, I had to come up with something for this. Oops.
I've got one.
Do you?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Another way to help out this podcast is to get your friends together and teach them a class. And in that class, you teach them about this podcast and then tell them to go tell two of their friends about the podcast. And then two of those friends get to tell two more friends about the podcast. Trick your friends, 2024.
And the third way you can help out this podcast is by checking out our Patreon. We've got all kinds of fun content over there. Bonus episodes, Discord, exclusive merch. Or after 6 months of support at the $10 tier, you get a shout out on the podcast in the form of a story summary, which Sequoia is going to do for us right now. Sequoia, take it away.
Several years after the Great War and the defeat of the evil Lord Voldemort, the Wizarding World is in its cozy era. It's all gardening, staying at home with the family, and indulging in the serene quiet that has settled over the community. That's why everyone loves the coziest cooking show on the Wizarding Wireless streaming network, Neville's Homestyle Kitchen. But when a new executive producer comes through and wants to spice up the show with a new co-host, can Neville grit his teeth and keep a level head with a sous chef like Draco Malfoy? Will what they cook up in the kitchen turn into a nightmare? Or will this oil and water couple come out just right?
Holy fucking shit, dude!
Was that not some of my best work?
That was amazing! I love that! What a story! Damn! Yeah. Our thanks to patrons Martina, Tom, Rachel Hirsch, and Nicole Abbey. Your support helps us keep going, and it means a lot to us.
Thank you also to the Whomping Willows for letting us use their song Wolf Star as our theme song. You can check out more of the Whomping Willows' amazing music at thewhompingwillows.bandcamp.com.
Bye!